This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to LabCast. I'm your host, Jonathan Crowe, and with us today we have a very special guest. We have Dr. Jeff Sutherland. He's the creator of Scrum. For those who don't know, Scrum is an agile development framework that dramatically changes how people work, how they organize themselves, and it makes organizations faster, better, and far more productive. Jeff has an incredible background and vast experience in software development. He's been a VP of engineering as well as the CTO or CEO of 11 software companies. He's also the chair of the Scrum Foundation, and he's a senior advisor and agile coach for us here at OpenView Venture Partners. In fact, Jeff leads a monthly Scrum Master and product owner trainings right here in the OpenView offices, and he's kindly taking a break from one of those to talk with us right now. Jeff, thank you very much for being here and for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for doing this, Jonathan.
The topic we'll be discussing today is one I'm really excited about. It's examples of Agile done right and Agile gone bad. This is something I know comes up a lot in the trainings. People always like to hear about examples of Scrum and Agile in action. And lately, there's been one very prominent example of Agile gone bad that I'm curious to hear your thoughts about. Can you talk a little bit about healthcare.gov? What went wrong and how better Agile practices could have maybe helped avoid what's become a really notorious software disaster?
Right. Well, a couple of weeks ago, NPR kept interviewing me almost every day for about a week on healthcare.gov. But healthcare.gov is primarily a waterfall project gone bad, and that's quite common. 86% of waterfall projects fail. Most of them, about half of that 86% are total failures, never used, software never used. Actually, in the Department of Defense, historically, it's been even worse. 75%, they did an evaluation of $34 billion worth of Department of Defense projects around the year 2000. 75% of them were total and complete failures, not a single line of code used. So what we saw in healthcare.gov was the norm. However, they even put some worse twist on that. Because of the pressure to deploy, after working for several years, it turns out they only had 6 days of testing. Well, anybody in software development knows that that is a total disaster.
Right.
But they just pushed it live, and nobody fessed up until after it was live that nothing works. So, they really compounded their errors. Interestingly enough, though, there's been now a lot written about this. A lot of people have really dug into it. And the front end of healthcare.com was an Agile project, and they actually completed it in a few months. But the problem is that they missed the second Agile principle. The principle number two in the Agile Manifesto is working software. So the people on the front end did their piece, but they never had anything that worked.
Right. Right.
So if they took it from an Agile perspective, actually it was quite easy in healthcare.gov. One of the things they wanted to do was transfer people over to the state agencies that had healthcare systems, like Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. So all the front end needed to do was hand off to Massachusetts, and then people should be able to sign up, right?
But makes sense.
And if they did that state by state, then they could have systematically at least done the states that worked. And then for those that didn't have their systems, then they could deal with this very large back-end problem that they had.
Right.
Now, it turns out if you look at what's going on now, that's exactly what's happening. They're starting to bring it up state by state. They should have done that at the beginning. So all you can ask is, what were these people thinking? If you looked at the organization chart, they had 20 to 25 of the largest consultancies in the United States on this project. So clearly it was a case where nobody's in charge of the ship, or the people in charge, who are probably administrators in the healthcare administration,
right,
were clueless about software development. And they got exactly what you would expect to get when people that don't know what they're doing are trying to run a waterfall project, which doesn't work most of the time anyway.
So it sounds like there's a few things there, too. You know, a problem of maybe too many cooks in the kitchen, no clear owners, really. Also, you have two aspects of this that are being developed in very different systems. So it's clearly, you know, you have the agile developed front end that does work, and then you have something completely separated. And that kind of goes against some of the principles as well, right?
This whole idea of historically, people have tended to do layered development. You know, let's build a big database, and then let's build a big middle layer, and then at the end of the day, we'll put some front end on it and hope it works. That doesn't typically work. We last year, when Ken Schwaber and I wrote Software in 30 Days, we did an in-depth analysis of the FBI Sentinel project, which was, let's bring all the data together on terrorists so we know from every agency what's going on.
So another huge project.
Same as Obamacare. You know, 3 or 4 years and $400 million later, virtually nothing works. Now, in that case, the government stepped in. The government accounting office stepped in, sent a cease and desist letter to the vendor. At least in this case, it was primarily one vendor, and they stopped the project.
Wow.
It was such a critical project that the FBI brought in an agile chief information officer, an agile CTO, and they set up 15 guys in the basement of the FBI building. And a year later, after $400 million had been wasted, a year later they spent $30 million and the project came up and came in under budget.
So you have one example, you know, this big sprawling project, money is being poured into it. Then you switch gears. They bring in a very small team of people who are very, very focused. They're agile driven, and it comes in far under budget. It's
right.
Pretty amazing.
Right.
Yeah, and so I mean, I think that's a good segue into talking about. You know, so those are some of the disasters, some of the examples of development gone bad. What about some of the examples of development done right in a natural way?
Well, we have a lot of companies doing software quite well today. I mean, Microsoft has a 3,000-person Scrum team for all their development project developer project or developer tooling, and they deliver at the end of every sprint, 3-week sprints, a brand new release of every product. Okay, so that's what's going on today. At Google, it's even more intense. They have 15,000 developers working on one branch of code. They go live multiple times a day. For desktop and mobile applications, it's every week or two. And they run 75 million automated tests every day.
So that's incredible. I mean,
so
that's
people,
kind of the pinnacle of
right.
What's possible.
So it's amazing as I go around doing training, so many companies have no idea what they have to compete with today. I mean,
right.
Google, Microsoft, even Adobe, Autodesk, all these people have major Scrum implementations. They're going to absolutely crush anyone who does not get this done right. One of the most interesting stories you brought up earlier was Spotify. They're very interesting because they've done a very elegant agile implementation, mainly because they insist that the Scrum Masters be actually agile coaches, experienced agile coaches, many of whom they hire from outside the company. Some of the leading trainers in the world have been brought into Spotify to fill that kind of Scrum Master job.
Wow.
So they have approached this really systematically. And the reason that the management did that is because their competition is Google, Amazon, and Apple, any one of whom could crush them in a nanosecond unless they're faster, better, cheaper. And they have to stay that way. They have to keep on running out ahead of, you know, if you know, look at iTunes now. It's got iTunes Radio, okay? It's just
right.
Like Spotify's radio. They're going to try to eat Spotify's lunch. So in order to go faster and faster, the teams have to get better and better. Well, Spotify has many teams at multiple locations all over the world. They have they call their teams squads. These little Scrum teams. Every squad can deploy its software at the end of every sprint, which is now 3 weeks, without breaking any other team. So in order to do that, they have to manage, they have to aggregate squads into what they call tribes, groups of teams. An interesting thing about Spotify squads is that each team has a piece of the product that's visible, that is completely theirs.
Okay.
But they have to deploy and change and upgrade that constantly without breaking anything else. So
that takes a lot of coordination.
All the dependencies have to be managed across the company to do that. So what's happened at Spotify, though, is that deploying every team deploying their software upgrade every sprint is not fast enough. They're going to have to go to continuous deployment where they're deploying multiple times a sprint. We have teams. We have a HubSpot down in Cambridge. They deploy 170 times a day on slow days. Okay, that's what's going on in the industry. So
that's incredible.
The picture from starting with Obamacare, I mean, that is so far. That is some dinosaur in the prehistoric era.
Right.
Compared to what's going on here right downtown or even probably on the street we're sitting on.
Absolutely. And so, you know, there were a couple of things that jumped out with, you know, using Spotify as an example. First, they have incredible buy-in from management and leadership. You know, they're bringing in outside agile coaches to actually be on the team. They've decided if they're going to do Scrum, they're going to do it right.
Yes.
And then also this idea of having, you know, small teams focus on one thing they completely own. It sounds like those are a couple of good principles.
Exactly. There's several things that you have to manage when you're scaling up like that. And in every case, Spotify has done it elegantly. For example, they originally had an operations team that did the deployment, but that was too slow. So they said, okay, we can't have somebody blocking deployment. It's not that we don't need good operations practices. So we want to move the operations team out of the road. We have no more release teams. That's a lot of extra overhead. They get in the way. The development team itself must deploy, but they need help with the right tools and procedures from the operations experts so they can all deploy together consistently. Okay, so
right.
This idea of removing waste from the system is fundamental to Scrum. And again, Spotify is an elegant example of systematically removing waste.
Right. Well, that's great. And Jeff, I know that people who are more interested in Scrum can easily find you very simply just by Googling. They can go to scruminc.com. Are there any other places they should go to learn more about Scrum and also connect with you?
Well, I have a blog at scrum.jeffsutherland.com. People can go there. We have two books that are out on Amazon right now. One is called Software in 30 Days. The other one is a novel that we've written that people should take a look at. So go to Amazon. There's both a novel and a technical book, Software in 30 Days, that are really good books to get started with.
Okay, great. That's definitely a good suggestion that everyone should check out. And, Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.